This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. If you missed the first couple installments of this month's series on sex and sexuality, well, it's time to head to our website. We hosted a panel of gay African Americans that spanned three generations, and we talked with a former stripper who is now earning her PhD in women's studies. Today, we continue our sex and sexuality series with a special roundtable. People have sex for a lot of reasons. Some are in monogamous relationships, other folks see it as recreation, and some even link it to spirituality. But you know what? There are just as many reasons that some people choose not to have sex. For months, weeks, even years. Sometimes for life. That's called celibacy. And whether it's for religious, emotional, or health reasons, more people are talking about this as a life choice. For more, we're joined by Audrey Edwards. She's a contributing writer for Essence magazine and a Brooklyn real estate broker. She was, an emphasis on was, celibate for 5 years. Darren Washington is a member of the Board of School Trustees in Gary, Indiana. He's been celibate for 12 years. And you might know actress Cece Michaela as the cop on UPN's Girlfriends. She's the founder of God's Girl, God's Guy Network. Its mission is to educate and empower young people. And she has been celibate for 7 years. So thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think that there's a difference between celibacy that just happens because you're not having sex and celibacy that you choose. I'm going to start with you, Audrey. You and I know each other back from New York.
Yes.
Did you choose that period of celibacy or did it just happen to you? And how do you feel about it now?
You know, it just happened, Farai. I think that's the case with a lot of people, men as well as women. If you're not in a relationship, which I was not, you tend not to be sexual, and that's the reality for a lot of people, for whatever reason, between relationships, incarcerated, making a choice. I think the one category you left out is involuntary celibacy.
And what do you mean by that?
People who are celibate not by choice but by lack of opportunity.
Would you have put yourself in that category? Because one of the things that you wrote about for Essence was how you didn't see a lot of options that you liked. I mean, all of us have options. I mean, I maintain that any woman, and I'm a woman, I'm not a guy, I don't know about guys, but any woman could have sex at any time.
Absolutely.
It's just a question of with whom and
Absolutely.
Why would you want to, you know?
Right.
So was it really a question of involuntary or just picky?
Well, when I say lack of opportunity with what I consider a suitable partner.
What did you consider a suitable partner?
Someone I was attracted to. I did another piece for another magazine that talked about my, I don't want to say aversion, but I'm not particularly fond of younger men, and I went through a period where that was all that was hitting on me. And for my personal reasons, I was just not comfortable with men who were a lot younger. So that's the case where I chose not to be sexual because it wasn't with someone who was age appropriate, as far as I was concerned.
Interesting. Stella got her groove back, but you said
not
right now.
Not me.
All right. Well, let's move on to Cece. Cece, you are relating your celibacy or your abstinence to religion. Tell me very specifically when you had a revelation that this was what you were supposed to do.
Well, it was a couple of things. One of them was when I first hit Hollywood, I was an extra, you know, just trying to make it. You just don't have a lot of money. Also, if you don't make enough money, you really don't even have insurance. And no one really thinks about that when all these young people go to Hollywood. You have big dreams and you just want to make it. And so thank God they do have what's called free clinics. In California, of course, any and everything could happen at the free clinic. Of course, I didn't know that. Well, what had happened was I did have a boyfriend at the time, and we had sex, and I went to the clinic to begin to get on birth control because I said, you know, I got to use my head. Hello. And we'd already been using condoms, but I said, I really want to just make sure I'm extra, extra safe. Well, before you can get birth control, they check, you know, to make sure that, you know, what kind of birth control you should take and how your body is doing and all that. And unfortunately, the nurse came back and said, we cannot give you birth control because you are pregnant. And I said, oh, my God, No. There's no way. Do you know who I am? No, I'm going to make it big. Like, I'm really, really funny. You don't understand. I mean, I know Hollywood doesn't know this yet, but I so have the potential to be famous. You know, this just is not coming at a good time. She said, well, give us about a week. It's kind of, it's not a strong signal, but a really, really sweetheart looks like, you know, you're very, very pregnant. This is what really just blew me away. This lady at the clinic, the nurse, gave me a booklet of abortions I could choose from ones that were anywhere from 200 all the way up to the top-notch ones that you can get done, you know, on Rodeo Drive, you know, in the Beverly Hills for like $1,200. And she said, give it about 7 days. You begin to research what you want to do. It is your choice. And in about 7 days, come on back, and we'll test you again. Well, of course, that was 7 days of hell. I did not sleep. I was rocking back and forth, looking at this book, crying my eyes out, trying to figure out, do I kill it? Do I not? What do I do? Oh, my God, what have I done? Well, I went back 7 days later, and the nurse kind of laughs at me and whatnot, goes, oh, sweetie, guess what? You're not pregnant after all. And I'm like, oh, my God, do you understand what what I've been through? And you know what? Something like that, I'm not celibate and I'm not abstinent just by default, or, oh, I just haven't had it in a long time, so I figure, oh, you know, well, I just won't keep having it. No, there are various, and I can tell you more and more stories that have happened to me where I just said, you know what, is enough, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Darren, let me ask you, and we wanted specifically to have a male perspective in this conversation. You're a member of the Board of School Trustees in Gary, Indiana. You've been running for office, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a little hoarse. I just got through with a mayoral's campaign last night, so excuse me, ladies, for my hoarse voice.
So you are waiting for the results?
Yeah, I've gotten them. We were not successful.
Oh.
And, that's okay. You keep moving, and in spite of, you know, God is real.
God is real, you say.
Yeah.
And God, your faith, more specifically, instructed you to be celibate. What did that mean to you? And had you had sex before you became celibate?
Yeah, I did. And it was more so, like the young lady was saying, I was in a relationship with a woman that I really loved. But I was, you know, a younger guy. She was really into church. And she wanted, we had sex, but she was really convicted about it. And she wanted to get married. Well, of course, you know, being a young guy at the time, I said anything I could, you know, just to have sex with her, and we broke up. And I realized that sister was probably the best thing that had ever happened to me at that time. And so in order to prove myself to her, to get her back, I started going to church. I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ. And I began to realize that I needed to be in the church in the first place, regardless of a relationship. Then I really started looking at, you know, preserving myself, because when you look at several relationships, a lot of men and women don't know how to be friends first. You become attracted, you give yourself physically, and then if things happen, people don't understand the spiritual soul ties that you have to a person. So I made the decision that the next woman I was going to have sex with was going to be my wife, because I'm single, never been married, don't have any children, and I want to be married, and I want to have children. And a gift that I want to give to my wife is to let her know, for the last 12 years, you have been the only woman that I have had sex with, and I want to get to know somebody, because you can't stay in the bare room forever doing marriage. You're going to have to learn the person's personality. You're going to have to learn their wants, their likes, their dislikes. You're going to have to learn how to communicate. You're going to have a sense of humor. So I think as a man, and for sisters, any man that really can curb his sexual appetite is really a man that can be focused to achieve a lot. But that's not necessarily saying people who can't do it are bad people. That's just not the case. You have to look at what you want, and what I want is to be married to a mighty woman of God. And in that relationship, because I've been in maybe two relationships, and it gets tough. And so sometimes that you have to break off the relationship because a person really doesn't want to go that way. But pretty much for me, it was just wanting to be married and not having sex with a woman, not knowing if she was going to be my wife.
Darren, we're hearing a little bit of sound in the background because you have been obviously campaigning very hard, but it sounds like this is also a campaign. I'm going to ask you about that in a second.
Okay.
But first of all, I just want to welcome anyone who is tuning in during the middle of the show. This is NPR's News and Notes. I am Farai Chidea. This is one of our special Sex and Sexuality Series roundtables. And we're talking to Darren Washington, a member of the Board of School Trustees in Gary, Indiana. He's been celibate for 12 years. Audrey Edwards, a contributing writer for Essence magazine, and actress Cece Michaela, the founder of God's Girl, God's Guy Network. Now, Darren, it seems to me that you have been very deliberate about your choices. And are you doing this for anyone? I mean, are you doing this just for yourself? Are you doing this for God? Are you doing this for the community? Why are you making a point? I mean, 12 years is a long time to go without what most people consider, or many people consider, a typical form of intimacy.
Well, the first thing is I go across the country and I talk to young people in singles groups. First, young people about, you know, waiting and focusing on their education. But you have a myriad of young adults who are single that want lasting relationships, and they want to be married, and they're tired of the same old, you know, meeting somebody in a sexual relationship, nothing happens. And, you know, I kind of talk about those issues. As far as the campaign is concerned, you know, I don't go out publicly, you know, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. You know, as a man, I think a lot of women should know that there are some men out there, and some men are really private, and they won't come out and talk about them not wanting to have sex unless they're married, because it's not the popular thing for most men today to admit that, especially with their Christianity. But, you know, it's the sense of letting women know that there are men out there. If you choose to not want to be intimate as far as having sex and you want to wait until marriage, there are some men out there that can respect that and can adhere to your wishes. But when you get involved in any kind of relationship, you just have to be very careful that you don't cross the line, and hopefully it can end up into a marriage. And some people don't want to be married. And if they don't want to be married, then, you know, I think they just need to be really careful about that. But for me, you know, I want to be married, and I want to have children, and that's the gift that I want to give my wife.
Audrey, let me turn back to you. I'm fascinated by what you said about younger guys, because it sounds like, and Darren, correct me if I'm wrong, you were one of those younger guys who was able to date an older woman. And Audrey, why did you turn down the younger guys?
You know, I think some of it has to do with my own background, Farai. My father was 10 years older than my mother. I have been married. My husband was 8 years older than me. So I think probably subconsciously I've been conditioned to think that a man should be older than a woman. I also know that females develop faster. So I think I always thought if I was with a much younger man, and I have been with younger men, but if I was with a much younger man, say 10 years or more, he would always be kind of behind me developmentally. But a lot of it was just conditioning.
Yeah. At this point in time, just we're kind of closing in on the time. We're going to bring you guys back after a short break, but I want to go to Cece. But before I do, do you feel as if you are making different choices now, and what are those choices you're making today?
Is that a question to me, for Ryan?
Yeah, it is
everyone.
A question to you.
Am I making different choices today?
Right. Are you dating? You know, and I mean, has your thinking changed?
You know, my thinking has changed a little bit. I really, Cece's story really resonated with me, because I know when I was younger, pregnancy was a big issue. And I have to say, now that I'm in my menopausal years, not having to worry about pregnancy has really freed me up sexually. On the other hand, you now have to worry about disease. So that's tempered my freedom. But I think for young women, and I also, you know, what Darren said resonated. I'm a baby boomer, and I'm of the generation that made love, not war. So sex was more recreational for my generation. And I think the generation coming behind has paid another kind of price for that so-called liberation. So I'm more selective as an older woman. I'm more discriminating. But the thing about being older is that the self-selection and discrimination sort of happens naturally anyway. You know, there's just less opportunity when you're older. And that's a fact. And it's really a fact for older women.
There's prison, there's jobs and money and death that all impact on who's
available.
Who's available for
mm-hmm.
you.
And when you're older, I mean, you're competing against younger women. And, you know, on some level, you really can't. You know, I don't have the body at 60 that I did at 25. That's just a fact.
Yeah, but you, I mean, it gets down to, and I hope we explore this some other time, it gets also down to, like, what do people want? Do they want someone who is a size whatever, or do they want someone who's their intellectual equal? But that is another question for another time. Cece, we're about to close out this portion of our conversation. We're going to bring you back for a conversation about abstinence-only education. Very briefly, what do you want to impart to people? Because it seems as if you're working very much with youth.
Absolutely. It is my life. I literally have purity ring parties, and I wear my purity ring. I take it very seriously. I haven't even hardly dated in 7 years. I think that it is a matter of realizing your worth. It is not cute to keep laying down with random men. It is not cute to go out to dinner, you know what I mean? And afterwards, they're like, okay, can you give me some what? You can't even say the name. You know what I mean? And it's really about self-worth. It's about keeping yourself pure. And I mean, when you're talking about 26 STDs and AIDS being one of them, I want to live. I have a lot to live for. I have a contribution that I want to make to the world. I do want to make a difference. And I can't do that if I'm dead. In the Bible, it says to offer up your body as a living sacrifice. How are you going to offer up your body as a living sacrifice when you're dead? It is not fun to lay down and do a three-letter word and wake up with a 19-letter word like condylomalata or trichomoniasis. That is not cute at all.
All right. Well, we're going to leave this right here for right now, but we are definitely coming back. We have been speaking with actress Cece Michaela, founder of God's Girl, God's Guy Network. They're holding their third annual
Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. Third annual Hollywood retreat in June outside Atlanta. Not Hollywood, Hollywood. Darren Washington, member of the school board in Gary, Indiana. He joined us from the studios of WBAA at Purdue, and Audrey Edwards of Essence Magazine. You guys are all going to be back with us, so thank you for this right now.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back with you.